And I want us to consider together the verses from 31 to 36, where the Lord is speaking to the Jews who believed in him, and speaking about the gospel, the truth, setting us free. Now, in verse 34, Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." And the Lord Jesus Christ there is emphasizing something which is of great importance, something that we all must believe about ourselves if we are to receive salvation from the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's this phrase here where the Lord Jesus Christ says, "I tell you the truth." In the Old Authorized Version, John is translated as saying, "Verily, verily, I say to you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." And when the Lord Jesus Christ says that, he does it on about 25 places in this gospel. It is when the Lord is emphasizing the supreme importance of what he is saying. Everything the Lord Jesus Christ says is important, but there are some things which are so necessary if we are not to die in our sins. It is so important that we should understand. The same thing happened when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and Nicodemus started to flatter the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord said to him, "Verily, verily, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see God." And what the Lord Jesus Christ actually said was, "Amen, amen, I say to you." And so we need to give particular attention. And I would like us to consider these words this morning. And the subject of what I have to say is the subject of slavery and freedom, because that is what the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking of. But we need to know what kind of slavery and what kind of freedom. Now, first of all, let's just see who it is that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to. It says, even as he spoke in verse 30, many put their faith in him. What it was that they believed is rather difficult to say, because the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking about himself and about his Father, and the nobility of his words must have impressed the people around him. And it says that they put their faith in him. So the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to those Jews who believed him. And what the Lord Jesus Christ proceeded to do was to prove to them that they were not believing aright. Because in the conversation that follows right up to the end of the chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to them about Abraham, he speaks to them about himself, and he finally reveals himself to them as the I Am, as Jehovah, before Abraham was, I Am. And those very Jews that said they believed in him, they took up stones to stone him, because they believed he was blaspheming. So therefore, whatever they believed in him, they showed that they believed he was only an ordinary man. So, and there were other occasions when the Jews were impressed by his words or by his miracles. And earlier on in John's Gospel, there were those who were impressed And John says that the Lord did not commit himself to them because he knew what was in them. But from the outcome, if the Lord is speaking to them and they believed him, their belief was not true saving faith. So there are many ways of believing about the Lord Jesus Christ without believing in him to the salvation of our souls. And from the outcome, I say, we see that their believing was not true saving faith. Because the fruit of true obedience, fruit of true faith, is obedience to Christ's commands. Look at what the Lord Jesus Christ said to them. He effectively is saying, if you believe me, then if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. True faith involves obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. It involves discipleship, and a true believer becomes a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they believe in him and follow him, the true disciple understands the truth and finds that the truth that he is embracing sets him free. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about. Now, in talking about freedom, the Jews were really hit on a raw nerve, because their immediate response was, how can you say they said, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be free? And this response of theirs, when you consider the history of the Jewish people, was laughable, because the Jewish nation had been overrun. They had been sent into captivity. They had suffered many things from the nations round about them, and much of it was sent to them by God in punishment for their unbelief. And yet they forget all this and say, we are free. It's a bit like the last night of the proms, where Britain rules the waves, and Britons never, never, never shall be slaves. And yet we are slaves in the way that these Jews were slaves, and yet they were utterly unaware of it. They said that we are Abraham's descendants, and we were never in bondage to anyone. And they completely misunderstand what kind of slavery, what kind of bondage the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking of, because they misunderstood him, and they misunderstood him, what he was saying concerning slavery and freedom, with a fatal misunderstanding. So I want us to just think for a while now about the Lord Jesus opening up the kind of slavery, the kind of freedom that he is speaking of. He says, whoever commits sin, whoever sins, is a slave to sin. And he says, I tell you the truth. Verily, verily, I say to you, whoever commits sin, whoever sins, is a slave of sin. So the Lord Jesus Christ, when he speaks about freedom and slavery, he's not speaking concerning political or worldly freedom. Our slavery, the Jews' slavery, and your slavery and mine by nature, is a much more drastic thing than political or worldly freedom, worldly slavery. our slavery is slavery to sin. And Lord Jesus Christ says, whoever sins, everyone who sins, is a slave to sin. Now, the Lord is not speaking about individual sins. One sin, one thing, one action. No, he's speaking about a life of sin. He's speaking about practicing sin as an outworking of our nature. And he says the sins that we commit are an evidence of a nature which is in bondage to sin. And that's what the Jews needed to be freed from, a bondage to sin, something which masters them and masters you and me as well. So we all commit sin by nature, not occasionally, not just from time to time, but we commit sin habitually. It is our nature to sin, because we are opposed to God, we are haters of God, we do not love Him, and we do not serve Him. Now, if you don't believe that you're in bondage to sin, if you don't believe me, try this. Try to turn over a new leaf. Try to say to yourself, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do what He commands me to do. I'm going to rid my mind of its foulness. I'm going to have a clean mind. I'm going to rid my heart of its pride, and I'm going to be humble. I'm going to do it because I am not in bondage. Try it, and you will find that you just cannot. You are powerless to free yourself from the slavery of sin, because it is in us. Since Adam fell, sin has come and to the whole human race, and we all sin. We all practice sin habitually, and that is what the Lord means when He says, "Everyone who sins," He's talking about habitual commission, habitual living a life of opposition to God. Because you see, however we live, whatever acts of kindness we might do, unless they are done to the glory of God, unless they are done to please Him and honor Him, then they are simply acts of selfishness, acts of pride, acts of things which are contrary to God. So the Lord Jesus Christ says that whoever commits sin is the slave of sin. And the Lord illustrates what they say about their attachment to Abraham by this illustration of the son and the slave and the son of the house. And the privileges that the Jews had as God's people externally, it did not affect their slavery. And the fact that they were Jews, the fact that they were the people of God, did not guarantee their acceptance by God, did not guarantee their permanent safety. Just like a slave in a house, in a household, he might live in the house, he might eat the food that the people in the house eat, and he might share many of the privileges. But because he's a slave, he's not a permanent resident of the house. But the son is. The son of the house is a permanent resident. And so these Jews, they were slaves in the house. Slaves in the house of God, in their case. But they were not sons, and therefore their position was temporary, and their position was going to come to an end. It came to an end in AD 70, but it comes to an end for all of us. Whatever privileges we have, they end when we die, unless we are sons of God. And the Son is the only one, the Son of God, is the only one who can set us free from this worst of all tyrants, this worst of all slavery, slavery to sin, slavery to our own lusts, slavery to our nature. And it is because we are slaves to sin. So whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. So let's now think about what Christ says about himself. He says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Only Christ can liberate us from this slavery. And he says that if we believe him, if we believe what he says concerning himself, if we follow him, this is what he says, remember, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. If you believe, if we believe the Lord Jesus Christ and we follow him, we will be true disciples. And what is the fruit of discipleship? Well, the Lord says here, it is that we know the truth, that is, we understand it, and we love it, and the truth of God will set us free from our bondage. Christ's truth, Christ's gospel, sets us free from that awful sin which enslaves us. We shall be true disciples, Christ says. Christ says, continue in my word. We will be true disciples. We shall understand. And we shall be set free. Free from the dominion of sin. So Christ alone can liberate us from this slavery that we have to sin. Slavery by nature. So, I finally want us to consider how it is that the Son makes us free. How it is that you and I, who are Christians, have been made free. What that freedom means. And how it is that those who are not Christ's, how you can be made free. So the Lord Jesus Christ says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed, free from the slavery of sin. Now the first thing that Christ says in this passage is that he is the Son of God. And he is not a temporary resident in the house of God. He is the Son. And the Son abides forever. And Christ is the Saviour. He is the eternal Saviour. He was the Saviour when he died on the cross. He is the Saviour when he rose from the dead. He is the Saviour when he ascended into heaven. He is the Saviour when he sat down at the right hand of God. And he will continue to be the Saviour until that day when he arises and comes again at the end of the world. Christ lives forever. The Son, he is the one who will set us free. Christ is the eternal Saviour, the omnipotent Saviour. And the work that he does by his Spirit in order to set us free from sin is a work in the heart. We cannot do things. We cannot have any external changes in our habits which will show which will prove that we can set ourselves free from sin. because there is this awful bondage of our nature. Don't need to prove it, we all know it, if we would only admit it, that we cannot but sin. We cannot but prove that we are in bondage. So what we need, if we are to be set free, is a work in the heart. We need our hearts to be changed. And if Christ works in our hearts by his Spirit, then we shall be set free from the bondage, the slavery to sin. And that's what Christ does in the Gospel. That's what Christ told Nicodemus, that he needed to be born again. And if we would but receive it, if we would know it, if we would submit to the teaching of Christ, then we will begin to understand that we need a new heart, and we will begin to realize that only Christ can give us that new heart. And the thing is that the work of Christ in the heart is an eternal work. He's an eternal Savior. His work in our hearts is an eternal work. It lasts forever. He changes us and he gives us new hearts. He sets us free from sin. So what does it mean then to be set free from sin? Well, the first part of our freedom, when Christ works in our hearts, when he brings us to love himself and believe in him for the salvation of our souls, what Christ does to those who receive him, to those who are saved, he sets us free from the condemnation of sin. Because one awful part of our slavery is that we are condemned. We are condemned sinners. We are guilty, and the sentence upon us is a sentence of condemnation. So if we are to be free, the first thing that is necessary is that we should be that sentence should be revoked. We should be free from condemnation. And the freedom that Christ promises here is, first of all, freedom from condemnation. You see, he died upon the cross, he bore our sins, he died in the sinner's place. And when a sinner comes to Christ, when you and I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, our sins were transferred upon Christ on the cross, and his righteousness is imputed, is reckoned to us. And so in the sight of God, we are no longer condemned. We are pronounced innocent, pronounced not guilty in the gospel. And every believer is set free from the condemnation of sin. That is the first step. If we are to be free, we must be free from condemnation. But then the next, the Christian is freed from the dominion of sin. Now that doesn't mean that, we all know from experience, that doesn't mean that we are freed from sin itself. But it doesn't dominate us. It doesn't master us as it once did before we became Christians. We are liberated from the sense of being the slaves of sin. We find within ourselves desires which were not there before. We have the desires to serve and to love God. And we find that we do serve and we do love God. But because of all the ingrained habits of our lives, because of our lifetime spent in sin, because of our corrupt hearts, we serve God imperfectly. But we do serve him in truth and with love if we are Christians. And so sin is no longer our master. Sin frightens us. Sin gets conquers us from time to time, but it is no longer our universal slave master. For the Christian, we are freed from the dominion of sin. But oh, that's not enough, is it? We know that we are able to serve God, but it's not enough. It's not what we really want, because sin is still within us. We find, as the Apostle Paul said, that when we would do good, evil is present with us, and it spoils everything we do as the Lord's people. It spoils everything that we do. But nevertheless, the dominion of sin has been broken. But there is a third part to the promise of freedom from Christ, and that is freedom from the very presence of sin. And that awaits us in glorification. When Christ comes again and our bodies are resurrected, we will be raised in fullness of life, in purity and in full holiness. And we will serve Christ joyfully on the new earth forever and forever. And then we will understand that we have been freed not just from the dominion of sin, not just a partial victory over sin, but a complete victory. And we will find that we will not be able to sin. Adam was created perfect, but God in his wisdom left Adam able to sin, and he did choose to sin. But we in glory will not be able to sin at all. We will find that we have hearts full of love to God and of love to Christ and love to one another, and there will be nothing to cloud the sky. We will be perfect in every sense. And so at the end we shall be free from the very presence of sin. And you know, we should long for that. We should certainly battle with sin. We should certainly not let sin have dominion over us. But oh, all our service is so imperfect. But there is a day coming when we will be free from every vestige of sin. And I don't know, but I should imagine that we will not even be able to remember what it was like while we were here in this fallen world, because we will be utterly holy. So the Lord Jesus Christ says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Free from what? Free from the Roman tyranny? No. Free from the things that bother us around us? No, we will be free from the bondage of sin. And we will be free from its condemnation. We will be free from its dominion. We will be free, ultimately, from its very presence. And only Christ can do that. If Christ sets you free, you will be free indeed. And all these tremendous blessings are for those who truly believe in and who truly follow Christ. Christ says, if you hold to my teaching, you are truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Christians are set free. We are free from condemnation. We are free from the dominion of sin, and we will be free from the very presence of sin. And these blessings, I say, are for those who truly believe in and truly follow Christ. But we must start by seeing our slavery to sin. the people in this passage that we're looking at, like we were once, they didn't even see how much slavery they were in. We must start by seeing that. And we must start by being like the tax gatherer in the temple, who would not so much as lift up his eyes to heaven, but said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that man went to his house justified. And unless we call upon God for mercy, unless we acknowledge our sin, unless the Lord convicts us of our sin, we shall never be free from that bondage which holds us all in its iron-like grip. But Christ can set us free. Find it out for yourselves. Believe in him. Trust in him. Become his follower. Ask him for forgiveness and ask him for mercy. And if you have never experienced the freedom that Christ gives from sin, then you will find it, and you'll find that the truth will set you free. May God do that for every one of us this morning. Amen.